When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat, a weekly series of podcasts about happiness and work culture. Well, hi there. This is Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. I'm Bruce Daisley. Here's what we do. Each week we gather here to talk about work culture and happiness for about half an hour. And when I say we, I mean me. A lot of people have been contacting me saying, I really love these podcasts. And so what I did was I subscribed on iTunes, and I've also written a review on iTunes. And then one night last week, I sent them all to all of my friends and a round robin email. And to those people, I say thank you very much. I can ask you no more. You can find us online. All the previous episodes are on our website, eatsleepworkrepeat.fm. And it's fab to have you back. We've got a really interesting angle this week that I hope will challenge you to think about your own preconceptions. After the majesty of Andre Spicer last month, by the end of today, I think you'll agree that the Kiwi contingent have been the saviours of this podcast. Because today's guest, Sasha Judd, is a heroic New Zealander. I saw something online by Sasha last month, and it was one of the freshest things I'd seen recently about diversity and work culture. It gets the mind racing to the things we could actually do. We're always used to hearing the excuse that recruiting women into technology is hard, and normally girls are blamed. They're just not interested, we're told. Well, Sasha Judd today shows that for the nonsense it is. I want you to think about what Sasha said. Could we take action to change this? You'll hear Sasha's story pretty soon. Let me give you some context on female representation in tech. Boys outnumber girls 4-1 on computer science exams. Ridiculously, it's actually got worse in the last few years. Women are 47% of the workforce, but in the US, they make up about 17% of computer science jobs. In the UK, it's worse and it's trending downwards. In 2010, women made up 14% of computer science students. 4 years later, it's 13%. So, why is it that women make up the highest performers academically, but it's not translating to computer science and the world of work? At a time when we've realised the future of work is written in computer code, we're sitting on a crisis of hiring women into computer engineering roles. In the context of that, Sasha Judd is a visionary. Sasha runs the Hoku Group, a family office in New Zealand combining private investments, early stage tech ventures and a non-profit organisation. She's also the co-host of Refactor New Zealand, a series of events around diversity in technology. Listen to what Sasha says. Think about how it could influence and change the way that we behave. Get ready to love Sasha. Let's go. The interesting thing for me is how you found yourself in Berlin doing a presentation about One Direction at a conference. Can you just talk us through that?
Yeah, it was a pretty unusual story. What happened was I spend a lot of time online in my personal life, and I really like very strange rabbit holes on the internet. Like, I love disappearing into a series of clicks which take you into a community or a world that you haven't necessarily come across before. And several years ago, that happened to me. I was clicking around and I found myself reading about this conspiracy theory that the fans of One Direction, the boy band, had come up with, that two of the band members had been involved in a secret closeted gay relationship since the band was formed. And I loved it because these fans were so passionate and they were spending so much time zooming in on paparazzi photos and slowing down video to try and work out if Harry and Louis had kissed or held hands. And they were spending all this time putting together these analysis posts and proofs. And I was just kind of marveling at this output, going, wow, this is extraordinary. But then I sort of forgot all about it. And it was only when it crossed my path again a couple of years later, through a weird series of coincidences involving a company that I made a small investment in, who had just started out with an online business and wound up having their signups slammed by these fans, because they were offering a backup service, and the fans had been using Tumblr, and Tumblr had started to take down some of their blogs because of audio content. And so these fans had started signing up for this service, and I was like, these guys, I'd forgotten all about them. And so it was just this very strange series of coincidences. But what happened then was I started telling this story over and over to people because I thought it was so great. And I started to get this really universal reaction, this pushback about the fact that, well, it's just about this dumb boy band. I think it was the universality of that reaction, the fact that everybody was like, yeah, but it's One Direction. I mean, come on, it's embarrassing, it's stupid. And I just started to get really irritated at that response. And so my way of responding to that irritation was to embrace it fully. I decided to just spam all my friends all the time with One Direction GIFs on Twitter and send them links to One Direction songs. And I sort of became this incredibly annoying, over-the-top fake fan.
You're not a fan at all. You're not a fan in real life.
I wasn't then. Right. I was very much doing it to prove a point. I still couldn't tell them apart. But the response became sort of more and more vehement, I suppose, from my friends going, what are you doing? You don't really like these guys, do you? And the more time I spent online basically looking for One Direction gifts to troll my friends with, the more I realized that what the fans of this band were doing online was extraordinary. The creative work that they were pouring into their pursuit of, you know, community and their passionate support for the band was really amazing to see. And that part of it was sort of unsurprising. I mean, I've moved in fan communities over the last 20 years. Like, I'm used to seeing people get really excited about a movie or a TV show or a pop star. But I think what was new for me was seeing the technical skill involved in the work that they were doing, and you know, the videos that they were making, and the way they were using Photoshop to manipulate images, and most of this is happening on Tumblr. So the way they were teaching each other CSS to make their Tumblr themes look great, and sharing sort of code snippets with one another, and I suddenly realized there was something much more interesting going on. And so once I started doing that, talking to other friends about it who work in the tech space, and through a series of introductions wound up going to Berlin to talk about it. So that was an awesome opportunity.
You say something really interesting in the talk that you gave. You say that you get to this thing which is like, why does society hate the things that teen girls love? And you give this comparison that if someone created a series of links to all the samples that the Beastie Boys use, that's regarded as cool. If someone spots all the locations in Star Wars films, that's cool, because it's sort of like a teen boy or an adult boy behavior. But as soon as it's a teen girl thing, we sort of feel unbound to criticize it.
Yeah, we dismiss it out of hand. And, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. I picked One Direction, but, you know, it could be Taylor Swift or Twilight or, you know, any number of things that young women in particular get passionate about are seen as being really silly. And the best example I can think of that is how the dumbest action movie, you know, like, it doesn't matter how stupid it is, Fast and Furious 12, will still, you know, you're still not considered an idiot for going to watch that. But a simpering teen romance, well, what are you doing, you know? And so there's a very gendered aspect to that criticism. But as I point out in the talk, that's not new. You know, like, the fans of the Beatles who were screaming themselves hysterical were considered idiots back then. And I think that over the years, we've just made some really gendered assumptions about the things that it's okay to get excited about. And that's pretty disappointing when you start to unpack it.
And at the back end of the presentation, you go into a whole application of this for diversity in work and in recruitment. Just to kick us off that bit, you did a survey, and I found the survey results quite heartbreaking. But just talk us through the survey that you did.
Yeah, well, once I realised that mostly young women in the One Direction fandom were doing all of this work, which had a technical skill set to it, I started to wonder how it connected with our diversity pipeline. Like, why were these young women not on a pathway into tech, and all of the stats say that they're not. So I did a little survey and asked them just a couple of questions. I asked them the kind of platforms that they use to participate in fandom and the sort of work that they were doing online. And then I just asked them if they'd ever considered a career in technology, and overwhelmingly they said no. And so I just gave them a free text box and I asked, if not, why not? And I had over 600 answers, and I mean, you can see from the couple that I highlighted in the talk, the responses were really sad. Like, they feel intimidated by technology, even though this is what they're doing online all day, every day. They felt that they weren't skilled enough or talented enough. And they didn't really see a path to this being a job. You know, this is a hobby for them. And worse than that, it's an embarrassing hobby that they don't tell their friends and family about. There's nothing that connects to them that says this is a career path that you could follow and wind up being reasonably, well paid to do the stuff that you do online as part of your hobby. And so, yeah, it was really hard to see these answers and sort of see these talented young women say, you know, I'm not good with computers, I don't think I'm skilled enough, no one would hire me, because they don't give themselves credit.
And you end up talking about just how so much of the sort of the architecture of tech jobs and actually so much of the workforce, the tech part is just the bit we're seeing here. But you talk about two things that I've scribbled down here. The way that Buffer changed a job title from hacker, and about the flaws of pattern recognition.
Yeah, well, maybe starting with pattern recognition.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the hard thing, there isn't one answer around solving diversity and inclusion in tech, but one of the things that we hit often is pattern recognition. And that's, it's a form of unconscious bias. And I think the problem is that label's being thrown around such a lot now that people are starting to see it as an insult almost, that if you start talking about unconscious bias, you're being accused of being sexist or racist or whatever. But at its core, that's just the cognitive bias, and our brain needs those, right? Just to get through the day, our brain is making hundreds of tiny assumptions faster than we even think about it. And one of those examples is pattern recognition, which is our brain looks for traits that it's seen work before. So, you know, when it's trying to decide whether something's going to be successful or not, your brain is rapidly going, have I seen this happen in a way that's been successful? So when we think about it in terms of hiring, what that means is we start to look for candidates who exhibit traits that we've seen be successful before. Like, we hired this person and, you know, they were ambitious and driven and they went about sales strategy in this way, so let's get 10 more of them. And also on an unconscious level, we look for people who've been on a similar journey to us, because that's the journey that we understand. So, you know, if they've been hacking around on a computer since they were 10 and they like craft beer and they, you know, follow the same sports team and whatever, then there's a natural fit that goes on in our brain. It's like, wow, that person's like me. It's not so much that we hire people who actually look like us, but we do tend to hire people who've been on a similar journey. And over time in the tech industry, what that has meant is that, you know, software teams tend to be comprised of, generalizing, a lot of white dudes in hoodies who've all followed a similar path into tech. And if we're to change that, then we need to start hiring different kinds of people. And I think everybody recognizes that that's a good idea, but then we just sort of stall out because we go, well, I advertised for a junior developer and a bunch of white dudes in hoodies applied, so I hired one of those. And that's kind of lazy. Like, I think we need to unpick where we're advertising for jobs, and we need to unpick how we're advertising for jobs. Because if you advertise for a position and only white dudes reply, then you have to ask yourself, well, did I put it somewhere that only they saw it? Or was there something about the ad that meant that only they replied to it? There's quite a lot written now about how we can write better job advertisements, and there's services that'll assess your job ad for you in advance, you know, to see if the language is inclusive. And an example of that is what happened at Buffer, and they've done a lot of really transparent work around their diversity. Like, if you go to their website, they've got this great open source diversity dashboard now that other companies can use. And the nice thing about Buffer is that they're still a relatively small team, so they're working on this at a scale that's reasonable for companies starting out, right? It's not like saying, oh, well, this is what Facebook does, and you sort of look at that as a small company and go, well, I'm not going to be able to do that. Although, ironically, you'd probably be better at it than Facebook. But you know, know, these systems work at a small scale. And what they did was they looked at the wording of their job ads, and Buffer had always used the word hacker for all of their positions. So they had front-end hackers and back-end hackers and iOS hackers. And they'd chosen that word deliberately because they felt hacker was an inclusive word, that it meant someone who didn't necessarily have a computer science degree, just got on, got the job done fast and well, and, you know, wasn't interested in mind games and puzzles and so on. But what they found is their number of female candidates declined really rapidly, was that that word was turning people away, that hacker didn't necessarily mean to everyone what it meant to them. So when they changed that, they started to see a shift in the number of people applying. And so I think just because we think of ourselves in a particular way or following a particular pattern, it's not true for everybody. And if we're going to change the makeup of our teams, that's one of the things we need to tackle.
It's worth saying, I don't think I gave enough credit to the quality of the work. It's worth saying, isn't it? The Larry Stylinson creative work, there's some video edits that are remarkable. Just some of the photographic reconstructions, all the work is of extraordinary standard, isn't it? This isn't just someone's pasted in a line of HTML. This is like proper work.
No, definitely not. And this is, I highlight the One Direction fans, but this is going on in every fandom, right? Like I picked one and sort of picked it deliberately because it tackles people's preconceived assumptions, right? It's easy to hate on a boy band. Fan communities produce extraordinary work, fully wrought novels of hundreds of thousands of words and beautifully rendered digital art. And, you know, they cut video better than most post-production specialists. You know, like they're very, very good at what they do. But they don't give themselves credit for those talents often because they're self-taught. So they teach one another how to do these things, how to use Photoshop or how to manipulate GIFs or so on. And so to them, it's a sideline and a hobby, and it's they don't necessarily draw the connection between what they're doing online in their spare time and what we're doing out in the tech world as paid careers.
It's a tragedy, isn't it? Because, like, you can imagine someone at home has got a showreel that's just like this beautiful film that they've edited.
Yeah.
That they're actually ready to drop into a production job. And, of course, they're probably scared to show it to anyone because the judgment that will be heaped upon them.
Yeah, that's right. And it's, that was certainly true for me. I mean, I up until 18 months ago, I was a partner in a law firm. You know, I've written fan fiction for years. I would never have told anyone in my professional life that that's what I was doing. Like, when I gave this talk on stage in Berlin, that's the first time I've ever fessed up to my first website because it was a fan website. So I'm not going to tell people that that's what I've made. I spent years keeping my fan identities and my real identity separate. And one of the beautiful things about giving this talk, actually, has been people coming up to me afterwards confessing their own first secret projects, you know, the first website they made or the first thing they built for sharing online. And, you know, I think we need to do a lot more of that, you know, owning our own first embarrassing project so that other people can see, oh, well, this thing that I do, you know, it is a real path. And it comes back to what you feel embarrassed about. And unfortunately, the stigma attached to the things that young women enjoy means that they're not really willing to share.
50 Shades started off as a Twilight fan fiction. So, like,
E.L.
you know,
James, yeah.
E.L. James, yeah. You said that if someone was facing these things, these Project Include, which seems to be an attempt to try to tackle some of these at a slightly more scale level.
Yeah, that's right. And I think one of the hard things about diversity work is that people in groups affected by it feel like they have to do the 101 work all the time, you know, because you get well-meaning people who are like, oh, well, we want to change this. What do we need to do? You know, and so it can be really exhausting to make the people from minority groups in your organization come up with the answers for you all the time. They shouldn't have to do your diversity work for free. And Project Include is a group effort. You can find it, Project Include, on Twitter, and they've got a website. And what they've done is come together and they've pulled all the research together. So if you're needing to share it with people further up your organization who want to see the science and research behind some of these things, all of that's there on the site. And then some very, very specific recommendations about things you can do, even starting out when you're a small team. And I think that's one of the things that I really want tech companies not to overlook, because culture beds in so quickly. And so it's very easy when you're just starting out and you've got a small team and you're like, well, we'll just get a bunch of people together who we've known from previous projects because we can move really fast and break things. And then once we prove that this product or service is successful and we'll start raising capital and so on, that's when we'll start hiring some other people. But the problem is, by the time you're 10 white guys and a dog, then why would anyone who doesn't look like you want to come and join the organization? And all of the research shows that diverse teams build better products. They do better financially. The teams are smarter and faster and at producing good work. And that's because you're challenging one another's assumptions all the time. You're not thinking about things in the same way and you're not tripping over your blind spots. And so Project Include gives you some really specific recommendations about culture, hiring, remuneration, promotion, how to deal with HR internally and so on, so that hopefully you don't see the sorts of things that have gone on at Uber in the last couple of weeks happen to your company. So that's a great starting point as a resource.
And to finish, what's your favourite One Direction song?
Oh, that's so hard. I don't know how to answer that. I love them all. Probably Story of My Life.
Right. I'm a best song ever guy.
Ah. Excellent.
Fantastic. I really appreciate.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Appreciate that. Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? A really fascinating episode. And I think for me.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast. And this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
He opened my eyes to the ways that we can handle problems and solve problems in a different way. If you've enjoyed today, please do share it. I'm always interested to receive your tweets. You can find us at Eat Sleep Work Repeat on Twitter. Thank you for listening. See you next time.